Lord, teach us, we pray, the importance of waiting on you. And help us, Lord, that we might wait on you. Lord, we find ourselves struggling because of impatience. We're anxious to see things done immediately. And so many times, Lord, we race in to try to correct a situation only to see it just deteriorate and get worse. And we realize, Lord, that had we waited on you, you had the answer all the while, and you would have worked it out. And so help us, Lord, to wait upon you, upon your perfect time, upon your perfect work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've arrived at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 as we journey through the Bible. Tonight we'll be studying this sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians. And we do encourage you to read through the whole Bible. Find out what the Bible has to say about God, about life, about you, about your relationship with God. Surely it is a guidebook for all men, and we need to have a good understanding of the Bible, and it's no problem to read it through with us. We're going at such a snail's pace that anybody could keep up with us. And so we encourage you to read through and study with us as we go through the Bible. Get an understanding of what the Bible's all about and what God is all about. As we've come to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, this morning we'd like to sort of concentrate on the second verse. As Paul there proclaims, "For he saith," quoting from Isaiah, "I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I believe that all of our lives are in God's hands, that God is in control over every aspect of our lives, and that God has a time and a purpose for all things that transpire in our lives, that He has appointed certain times and seasons. As Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:1, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." And then he goes on to talk about a time to be born, a time to die, a time to weep, and a time to cease from weeping, and how that there is appointed by God a time and a place and a purpose for everything in our lives. We know that God had an appointed time for salvation for Israel, the nation, and that God had spoken of that time, that He would offer to the nation salvation. The prophet Daniel said, "From the time that the commandment will go forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, unto the coming of the Messiah, the Prince, will be 483 years. The time of their salvation would be 483 years after the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That commandment was given by Artaxerxes to Nehemiah in the year 445 BC. 483 years later to the day, Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, thus fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah, who said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout for joy, you daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming unto thee. He is just and having salvation." The day for the salvation of the nation of Israel had come. But he is lowly, riding on a donkey, upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the day of their salvation, God had appointed a day when the Messiah would come. He prophesied of that day, and right on time God sent his son to be the salvation of Israel. It's interesting that Jesus expected them to know that day. They should have known from the prophecies that this was the day that the Lord had made, the day of salvation. The disciples recognized it. They were crying, "Save now, save now. Blessed is the King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But Luke tells us that as Jesus was coming down the path from the Mount of Olives, riding on the donkey, when he had come near to the city and beheld it, he started weeping. And he said, "If you'd only known, even thou at least in this thy day," the day of your salvation, "if you only knew, at least in this thy day, the things that belong to your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the days are going to come upon thee when your enemies will cast a trench around you, and they will circle the city, and they will set siege upon it. And then they will lay the city even with the ground, and your children within you, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another." Why? Because you didn't know the day of your salvation, the time of your visitation. The day came. They did not recognize it. And because they did not recognize it, the days of calamity were to follow. And Jesus, seeing the calamity that was going to come upon the nation, seeing the Roman troops as they were in siege around the city, seeing the millions of people, or actually the million people plus that would be massacred, even the little children massacred in the streets, because they didn't know the day of salvation, the day that God had appointed for them to be saved. And that day came, and they let it pass. I believe that one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is found in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah said, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." People who have allowed the day of harvest to pass, the day when God would have gathered them together, as he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you've stoned the prophets and all that God has sent unto you. How often I would have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chicks under its wings, but you would not." And the day of salvation came, the day of salvation passed and they were not saved. And they had to face the horrible judgment of God because they did not know. I believe that God has set a time for your salvation. I can very well still vividly remember a night in Ventura, California. I was 14 years old. And that night, as the pastor was giving the invitation, God's Spirit spoke to my heart in such a powerful way that I began to shake. I rushed down to the altar, fell on my knees, and asked the Lord to come into my life and to forgive me all of my sins. I'd grown up in a Christian home. My mother and father, both of them, mentored me in the Scriptures. I had the advantage of a godly heritage. And I still to this day thank God for that heritage that I had. But at 14, the time had come for me to develop my own relationship. I couldn't any longer sort of rest under the umbrella of my parents' relationship with the Lord. And I had to establish my own reasoned decision to accept Jesus Christ. And I remember the Spirit of God was working in such a heavy way in my heart that I was shaking. My heart was pounding as God's Spirit was saying, "This is the night." And that is the night that I made my commitment on my own to follow Jesus Christ. When I went home and I was sharing with my parents, actually, about the only night I can ever remember that my parents didn't go to church on a Sunday night, but they stayed home that night. We'd just gotten home from vacation. And so my sister and I went to church together. But when I got home and I was sharing with my parents how God spoke to me and how I went forward, I was still shaking. I was quivering inside because of the fact that the Spirit had so impressed me. This is the day. This is it. The day that you make your decision to follow after Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews tells us that God limited a certain day, as He said in the Psalms, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. But God limited it to a day. And I believe that God sets limits, and there comes that day when God says, okay, this is it. This is the day. And on that day, you once and for all either accept or reject God's salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that it is possible for a person to sin away God's day of grace in his life. In the first verse of this chapter, Paul is exhorting the Corinthians not to receive the grace of God in vain, not to let the day pass. God said to Noah, "My Spirit will not always strive with man." In other words, there will come a day when my Spirit will no longer strive. And so it was with the people in the days of Noah. Noah was building the ark for 100 years, preaching to them that God's judgment was coming. But they rejected the warnings of Noah. And the day came when the door was shut and their fate was sealed. They were outside of the ark of salvation. And I believe it is so with every man. God's Spirit will not always strive with a person. You can sin away the day of grace. As Paul was talking to Felix, the Roman governor, Felix was under tremendous conviction. He began to shake. And he said to Paul, "Go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." The day of salvation, God's Spirit was knocking on the door of his heart. He was shaking. But then he said, "Go away. When I have a more convenient opportunity, I'll call for you again." But tragically for Felix, that more convenient day never came. He was soon recalled by the Roman government and exiled. And the day of salvation passed, and he was not saved. You see, you have no guarantee that there will be a tomorrow opportunity for you. This could be God's final call. The prophet Isaiah said, "Seek ye the Lord while he is near. Call upon him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Paul said in the next verse, or in the latter part of this verse, "Now is the accepted time." Let me ask you, what do you hope to gain by waiting? By putting off God's offer of salvation? Is it that you have some unfinished sins that you desire to commit? Is it that you want one last fling in the world before making that complete commitment to Jesus Christ? How many people never survived that one last fling? Don't you realize that that one last fling is the most dangerous moment of your entire life? Because Satan knows that this is it. This is your last fling with him. The last dance with him. And he is going to do his best to make sure that you don't survive it. And he's going to take you, if possible, while you're on his turf. Just recently, we buried a young girl who had come forward on a Monday night. And she was addicted to heroin. And so she was going to go into a rehab program on Monday. And Saturday, she decided she'd have one last hit. This would be it. I'm going to be clean starting Monday. But she overdosed on that one last hit. Monday never came. It's serious business. When God is knocking at your heart, when God is offering salvation to you, it is important that we give heed, because we never know if that day will come again. It stands to reason that for every person who has been lost, every person who is in hell today, God gave to them one final call. It was the last time that God was going to offer them salvation. And they foolishly rejected God's final call. And today, they are suffering the judgment of God because they let the day of salvation pass them by. For some of you who are here today, this could very well be God's last call to you. God's last invitation to receive this great salvation that He has provided for you, the forgiveness of your sins, the cleansing of your life. And God once more, for the final time, is saying, "Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you will find rest for your soul." And it could be that this is the last time God's going to hold out His arms and say, "Come." There is a time, we know not when, a line we know not where, that marks the destiny of man twixt sorrow and despair. There is a line, though by man unseen, once it has been crossed, even God Himself in all of His love has sworn that all is lost. You could be near that line today. You could be crossing that line today where God's Spirit will no longer strive with you. The Scripture exhorts us, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So many say, "Well, I'm going to wait until I'm older. I want to have some fun before I get serious with God." Solomon, that wise man, said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come or the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them." It is so hard to see young people wasting their lives, taking a path that can lead to destruction. It's so hard to see them when they are headstrong and they're determined to do it their way and to go their own path, and they won't heed instruction, they won't listen to the warnings. You have sufficient experience to realize that the path that they are taking is extremely dangerous, and it can lead them to a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of suffering, and you would like to see them avert that pain and suffering, especially if that young person is your child. But to watch them and to know that they're going to end up on the rock, damaged, hurt, bleeding, and you would give your right arm if you could only stop them. But they're determined to go their way. You plead, you pray, you exhort, you do everything that you know to do, but still, they're bent on destroying themselves, and you can't stop them. What do you do? You do what Jesus did. He wept. He wept because the day of salvation had come and they ignored it. He wept because he knew that by their ignoring it, they were only courting disaster. They were inviting destruction. They were on a path that would lead to pain, death, sorrow. And he wept. I wonder, as Jesus is looking over the congregation today, as he sees some of you, you've hardened your heart. You've rejected the offer of salvation. And maybe this is the final time. And I wonder if he weeps as he sees the calamity that's going to come in your life because you let the day of salvation slip by and the harvest is over, the summer is past, and you're not saved. Now is the day of salvation, the Lord said. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. Now is the day of salvation. Just now, God, one more time, is speaking to your heart. Just now, God is saying, I love you. I want to cleanse you from your sin. I don't want you to destroy yourself. I want you to know the joy of living in fellowship with me. I want you to be with me eternally. I love you so much I sent my son. I allowed him to die for your sins that I might be able to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Today is your day of salvation. Come unto me. I will forgive. I will pardon. I will cleanse. I'll make you a new person, and we can live together in the joy of my kingdom forevermore. He's speaking to your heart today. And you see, you now are either saying yes or no. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. This may be your last opportunity to be saved. There is a time God has appointed. This could be it. If you but knew God's final call, how will you respond to it? So we pray, Father, as the prophet Amos said, multitudes in the valley of decision. We realize, Lord, that there are many today in the valley of decision. As once again, by your grace, you've opened your arms and offered forgiveness, offered cleansing, offered the pardon for their sins. And Lord, as we are here in the solemnness and the sacredness of this moment, as you are here once again speaking to hearts, challenging them, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you, Lord, might prevail and that they, Lord, might respond and accept. Not put it off another day. Not put it off to another time. Not seek a more convenient season. But today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand? If you would like to say yes to God, I encourage you, as we are dismissed, you'll make your way immediately back to the prayer room. The pastors and counselors will be back there to pray with you. This is the day. That's what the disciples said. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, save now. They recognized the day, God's day of salvation for Israel. And they were spared when Jerusalem was destroyed. God had warned them, and they had fled from the city before the Romans broke the walls and came in. God wants to spare you the coming judgment. And once again, His grace, He stretches out His arms. He says, come. Ye that are weary, come. Drink of the water of life freely. And so I encourage you, go back to the prayer room. Let this be the day that decides your eternal destiny to be with the Lord. May the Lord watch over and keep you in His love. May the Lord minister to you by His Holy Spirit. And may you experience the joy, the fullness of joy, with His presence in your life. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless thee,
Lord bless thee
and keep thee.
Lord.